in verse number, let's begin in verse number, and we better keep it short, verse number 28, and we'll read through verse number 34, and rapidly tonight we are going to begin to look at predestination. Now we have one doctrine more after this, and we'll be finished with this entire decade of messages on doctrine and teachings on doctrine. Romans 8, verse number 26. Let's read verse 26 through verse 34. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, Father, we pray that you'd help me. Give me clarity of thought, clarity of speech for the next 10 minutes. I beg you for your power, and Lord, help me to make it pointed. Help me to make it stick. In your precious name, I pray. Hide me behind the cross. Amen. Now, there's a lot of confusion about predestination. Hyper-Calvinists, and I use that term, hyper, which means ultra, and Calvinist, which some people say, well, I'm a five-point or a three-point or two-point Calvinist. John Calvin had something that was identified tulip, and I've preached on that several times. But hyper-Calvinists believe that people are predestined for heaven and predestined for hell. Now, according to the Scripture, whosoever will may come. And so there's a lot of confusion about predestination. How do you reconcile predestination with whosoever will may come? Free will or God's fixed will in this matter? Well, we're not going to answer the entire question tonight, but we're going to get a start on it. Now, to understand this, tonight we'll look at three words, two words in quite a fashion, and then the third word in a limited fashion. But the first word we're going to look at is the word foreordination. Foreordination means to determine beforehand or to fix beforehand. Look at the Bible there. It says there in the Word of God, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, what is the idea of foreordained or foreordination? Well, it's simply the idea that God is a careful architect. God carefully put the future together. Now, you think about it. You see, God knows what's going to happen in every situation that you can imagine. God knows how you'll react. God knows how you'll act. And so he foreordained, he determined beforehand that what he saw based on what word? Foreknowledge. Would happen. Now, it gets confusing. I don't claim to be an authority on it. I don't claim to know all the answers. But I know foreordination means to determine beforehand, and it has the idea that God is a careful architect. Now, God had a plan from the beginning. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 4. And when I say rapidly tonight, that's exactly what I mean. Ephesians 1, 4. The Bible says this: according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, it says there that God chose us in him when before the foundation of the world. Now, I'm not overly intelligent, and I was born July the 20th, 1953. No amens. I feel impressed on the overly intelligent part. I was born in 1953. I was saved in 1974. But God chose me before He created the earth. That's what it says. Why did He choose me? Because He knew on November 10th, 1974, I would choose Him. It was based on His foreknowledge. I don't know when you were saved, but God knew you would be saved before the foundation of the world. When was Jesus Christ actually crucified in the mind of Christ? He was slain before the beginning of the world. And so, you see, God knows the beginning and the middle and the end and all eternity, all at the same time. You say, how can He do that? I don't know. And I guarantee if you get to thinking about it, you'll have a headache before you leave here. You can't figure it out. God just knows. He looks at the entire spectrum of eternity. He just looks down. He sees everything at one time. I don't understand it, but I know it's true. And God knew you'd be saved when you got saved. And based upon the fact that you made the decision for Him, He said, all right, it's foreordained that Henry Hart is to be saved so many years ago at Fellowship Baptist Church, such and such a day, such and such a time. And He knew that Henry would make that decision. He knew about you if you're saved. He knew. You say, I'm not saved. Well, if you get saved in 2 weeks, God already knew you'd do it. You're foreordained. And that's to determine beforehand based upon foreknowledge. Look at Ephesians 1:5. The Bible says this, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Now, a lot of people will take that and they'll say this. Well, God chooses us based upon what? Based upon His goodness. We have nothing to do with it. We don't have the ability to have faith to believe unless God gives it to us, and so we're predestined to heaven. If God saves us, then He chose us. We have nothing to do with it. But the Bible still says, for whosoever will may come. And you have to blend them together. No, that's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about the fact, based upon God's foreknowledge, He has predestined us to the adoption that He's given us, and we'll be in Christ Jesus forever. And the good pleasure of His will is the fact that He made salvation possible. That's what it's saying. And so, foreordination, the plan of God. God predetermined a purpose and a plan. Second word, quickly, decree. Now, that's not found in the Bible as such pertaining to what we're talking about tonight, but it is a Bible word. Let's compare it to the auditorium here. We set out to renovate our auditorium, and I thank God that we had money in the bank ahead of time to renovate the auditorium. We had something like $4,000 or $5,000 when we began, and it made the load lighter. We paid it off with no interest, and thank God for the build-up. Amen? It really helped. But when we set out to redo the auditorium, we made certain plans. We said we're going to do this and this and this and this. We voted on it and we did it. But we had to set certain dates. And we were supposed to do some things on a certain date. Monday nights, Tuesday nights. All right? The plan of God was to provide salvation and foreordain by His foreknowledge who would be saved. The decree of God was that what He foreordained would happen. That's what it means. What God foreordained by His foreknowledge, He caused to be concrete. Let's say, now, you may not think this is important, but I do. Because there's a spiritual warfare. The warfare is the devil or Satan or whatever you want to call him would seek to have your soul tonight. If he could break you away from the grasp of Jesus Christ, he would do anything, not because he hates you as much as he hates God. And he would do it. He'd sever that relation. He would change and thwart the purpose of God if he could. But when God saw by his foreknowledge everything, he said, all right, I foreordained that that will happen. And he made a decree. It will happen exactly as I saw it. Now, you talk to time travelers. I've never talked to one of you. You've seen all the movies about time traveling. You say, well, didn't Einstein say this and this and this, they're around children and all the rest? Don't believe you'll ever see a time travel, because God has decreed the future. But it's based upon his foreknowledge of what would happen. Are you confused yet? I certainly am. And I can't explain any better than that, because that's exactly what the Bible teaches. You say, well, I don't understand it, because you're not God. He just wanted to tell us something that you can't quite grasp to show you that you're a human being. And I believe that with all my heart. Now, look at Job 22:28. I'm going to give you two scriptures to show you what I'm talking about. And I suppose the greatest aspect of this thing called predestination is I can't find one time that it says that the lost man is predestined to anything. When it talks about predestination, it talks about the saved individual being predestined to glory, predestined to heaven. But the word decree, Job 22, verse 28, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. Job is talking to God. God makes decrees. And listen, buddy, when God makes a decree, that thing will never change. An act of Congress won't change it. The atomic bomb won't change it. God said, that's settled, it's going to happen. And some way in his omnipotent power, he sets it in and says it's going to happen. You see, I'm thankful that even though I was a bimbo until I was saved, God knew 7,000 years ago, before eternity was taken and shaped into this little space we call time, and eternity still travels around it. I don't understand that either, by the way, and you don't. But before that happened, God knew, and it was foreordained, and it was decreed. Bob Barker would be saved November the 10th, 1974. Now, what does that mean? That means when we go door to door and somebody gets saved, and, well, we may have just prayed and said, God bless us, and that person gets saved, and we say, man, wasn't it something? God says it was decreed. It was going to happen because I saw it. Long time ago, that is a decree. Look at Daniel chapter 11, verse number 36, quickly. Daniel chapter 11, verse number 36. And the king shall do according to his will. This is talking about the Antichrist, by the way. And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. Did you see that? Do you know it's been decreed that the Antichrist will prosper? Did you hear me? You're not going to keep the Antichrist from rising to power. You're not going to keep the Antichrist down. He will rise to power. Now, that doesn't mean we ought to fit into his system. We ought to oppose the Antichrist system. But in this world, we as human beings are going to lose, because we're not of this world. But the Antichrist will rise, because it says in the next part of that verse, for that is determined shall be done. He says, I saw it. I foreordained it, I decreed it, and it ain't going to change. Now that is foreordination and decree. We could look at several verses. Write these down quickly. Luke 22:22. Read them when you get home. Acts 2:23. As a matter of fact, the book of Acts 4, verse number 27 and 28, says that the death of Christ was decreed. And aren't you glad the death of Christ was decreed for you? And for mankind? You see, we preach and we talk about the devil trying to sidestep Jesus Christ, and if he could do this and if he could do that. Jesus Christ could not be sidestepped. I mean, the cross for Jesus Christ could not be sidestepped. Why? Because God decreed it. God knew it happened. He planned that. It was his determinate will and his determinate counsel in Acts chapter 4 that Jesus Christ would die on the cross. Now that you're totally confused, you keep that thought, and we'll finish up, and we'll tie it all together next Wednesday night, all right? Let's have a word of prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Now, I know we were rapid tonight.